I've been thinking about a tree the whole week. Now, if I don't say anything else after that, you might think this is a weird church. But if you look at that it gets a bit dumb. But I've been thinking about that tree. Not that one, but our tree. And we're going to preach about that tree this morning. And if you leave, I want you to understand what I'm saying and what I'm saying. You know, Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke about things that people could keep in their minds, put there as a vision and as something that could look onto, and then they could run with it. So I really thought about this tree today. I'm not a tree hugger. My wife is. But I also hug trees every now and then. No, it's good to look after nature and so on. But if you can walk away with this and understand what I believe God is trying to tell us today, it would be great. And I also would want everybody to listen to this sermon, especially the small group leaders. So if you know that somebody's not here, please get them the CD. Amen? Amen. Julle moet nou nie aan die slaap raak, dit was nou so mooi om vir Freddie te bid, nou moet julle na my luister. Amen. The vision for this year can be summarized in two words. All right. Outreach and family. Don't worry if it sounds all confusing. Hopefully it will become clearer as I'm preaching. Outreach and family. Reaching out to others and this whole family thing. Now, I want us to forget about outreach for now. We're only going to talk about family now. And I'll tell you, I'll come back to outreach. Family. My computer is giving up the ghost. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. The whole theme of family is right throughout the Bible. It starts and it ends with that thing. God has had that thing in his mind. God doesn't have a business and a business plan in mind. He doesn't have a cold-hearted method in mind. God has got family in mind. God operates through family. Okay. And what this scripture here says that, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But I want you to understand also families. What is our vision this year? Outreach and family. Family, in this scripture, speaks of a circle of relatives or a sort, or by extension a tribe or people or a kind. In other words, what God has in mind, God also doesn't have an issue with Afrikaans people, Nama people, Damara, Oshivambu. He doesn't have a problem with different cultures. I mean, he actually likes it. He said that in you, all these families, all these kinds, all these sorts will be blessed. Okay? So, I sometimes think of it, you know, if you look at South America, that's probably a very good example. It's the Spanish took over South America, and they came in with, any Spanish here? Okay, so they came in with Catholicism, by and large. That's what they came in with, the Catholic Church. And that whole nation is still, no nation, continent, is still under Catholicism. And if nothing against Catholicism, but the way in which they brought it in, it was very rigid. It was all about rules and regulations, but they did everything under the church's name. But if you look at what they did, is they wanted to extinguish all kinds of different tribes and how they operate. They just wanted to come and impose their way on people, and it actually had nothing to do with God. And that whole continent still suffers. What I'm saying is, if, and it's sad, I don't know who's going to pay the price for that one day, but God's purpose would have been for somebody to come in there with a heart of God and saying, I don't need to change you in how you do, how you farm, how you do this. We can help you to become a little bit more productive or whatever, but you don't have to dress like we dress. Are you with me? God has got no problem with people running around like Namas. They don't dress like us or whatever. God doesn't have that problem. So, but sometimes we think we must mold people and they must become this little bit of a family. They must look like this. I actually shouldn't say any of this. And in the same way that there's different types of families, there are different churches. Different families. They are all part of the global church. In other words, that orange, you always see orange here because we're orange. Because that's shofar. But this is just one family. Then you have the Achis and the Ingia and the whoever. All families. But the bigger picture is that we are the church of Jesus Christ. Okay. But it is important for you to align yourself with a family. That doesn't mean that we don't stand for church unity and whatever. We stand for that. But somewhere, I mean, you have lots of good fathers that are here. My father's not here anymore, but I only had one father. So he's mine. I must choose, not even choose, he's mine. That's my family. That doesn't mean that the other fathers are not good. So what I'm trying to say is, God doesn't have a problem with diversity, but he wants you to slot into a family somewhere. Okay. But we're talking about family, but I don't want to talk about that aspect of family. Now, I want to divide family. We're saying our vision this year is to family and to reach out to others. What does this whole family thing mean? What is God trying to tell us? The one thing I believe God is trying to tell us is that he wants our relationships. Well, let me put it this way. He wants relationships is the basis on which everything happens. The things you saw here this morning. It's not like we've got a program that we put Freddie and Bruna through and there you go, get married. There was stuff happening here that's deeper. There's a family thing that happens here. And the one thing God is challenging me on, firstly, when it comes to family, is my own family. And we're going to focus on that this year. What does that mean? It means me, my wife, my mother, my brother, my sister, my son. /daughter. I already decided it's a son. I decided it's a son. Uh-oh. So God is challenging us here this year on family. The first aspect of family that I want to talk about is your family. Your like biological family. Your husband. Your wife. Okay, hopefully this scripture makes sense. 1 Timothy 5 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay. The scripture just makes it very clear that God doesn't want a massive church with broken marriages in them, for instance. A massive church with children that are wayward, children don't follow their fathers. No. God wants that thing primarily, firstly, to be sorted out. So this year, we're gonna deal with these things a little bit. We are going to have, it's just the date that needs to be confirmed. That's the only reason why we're not putting it up there. We're going to have a relationship / marriage weekend. You must get excited about this. Okay, we still don't know how to structure it. Maybe you can come next Sunday and give us some advice. But we don't want to make it exclusive just for married people. Because, I mean, some are not married. But you can only, you can't talk about everything when there's unmarried and married people. For those of you that are married will understand. But are you with me? So God is telling us, God is speaking to us that I don't want you to preach the gospel, to be all spiritual and stuff and your house is falling apart. All right? So that's the first important thing. As Amal Yiso. All right? I always say that children are happy not only if it's a rich family, if they've got a big house, if they've got all the material things. Children are happy when there is a home feeling at home. Children are happy when mom and dad is happy, whether or not they only have bread to eat and not all the gadgets. Are you with me? So, God is speaking to you also. We must get our families in order. We must focus on families. Because what will we produce? What will we reproduce in church? If you've got a husband and wife fighting at home, let's say a pastor and his wife, whatever, fighting, there's not real unity there. Children are wayward. And now we're preaching to people that they must get saved and follow Jesus Christ. You know what? We will reproduce. We will reproduce that. Even though you don't say it, even though you hide it, even you keep your wife at home, you don't let anybody see her or your wacky children, that you will reproduce that. That is what will be reproduced. It's not the primary function why God wants us to get our house in order, but that is a very good reason why he wants it to get in order, because otherwise we reproduce that. Okay. God's family. Our family, God's family. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Scripture doesn't only refer to family as biological family, mom, dad, uncle. My uncle got married yesterday. You know, I can tell you a little bit of a testimony here. Oh, but I'm almost scared to talk about it. My uncle, yeah, he just had a bad run of events in his life. And his wife died, and a few other things happened, which you don't have to know, in between. And now he is in Ochu. He's there on a... God has just been blessing my family. Amazingly. Now he's in Ochu. He's got his own lodge that he runs. Not his lodge, some German's lodge that he runs there. And my brother went to visit him. He's met like one of the very few charismatic families in Ochu. And he got married to that lady. They are spirit-filled. I mean, if I had to write his future out for him, I could not think of a better option. I could not think of a better plan that has happened to him. Amen. The same was happening to my mother. If you want to know more, my father passed away. Same is happening to my mother. Anyway, God is amazing. I cannot write fairy tale stories like he does. He does it. Anyway, Scripture says it. There's also a household of faith. And God is speaking to us about our own families. He's speaking to us about this family. He wants this family to be real. He wants this house to be family oriented. Dennis said it last week. He thinks God's speaking to us about family. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. Is that if we do things in this, and it's happening here. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying we must build on it. And God wants to build on it. But God wants us to build on this household of faith, this family thing. It's like when let me go to the next scripture. Romans 12 verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. That's what God wants to happen have in the church. Sometimes you can have a group of people, but it's like, I don't want to know about pity's little issue. You know, like, ooh, pity's suffering. Go home. God wants this thing to happen, and I'm happy because I'm seeing it's happening. It's where I rejoice when you rejoice. I mourn when you mourn. When you go, when Valerie is, when Valerie goes through through what she went through, she's not on her own. We're suffering with her. Carol is up sending SMSs. Pray for Valerie. When Freddie's going to get married, it's not like nobody helps him. In his absence, Dr. Mark Mankies and his wife went through marriage counseling with him. You know, those people are busy, but they took the time out to say that we can help them to get ready for marriage. Amen? Family. Now the same thing God wants to filtrate right through church, small groups, whatever we do. You know, I always say, and I don't know how to say it so that people can just understand my heart, but if a small group doesn't feel like something I want to go to on Wednesdays, then there's something wrong. And I'm not blaming the person in charge of the small group. I'm just saying we're missing something here. Let's just realign something. But God wants us to be happy when we're together. Family. If it's not like that, let's close it, let's stop it. Nobody is condemned, nobody is nothing. We're not blaming anybody, but the Holy Spirit things are not happening here. So let's stop the fleshly things and let's realign and get the Holy Spirit things going. Amen. God's family. How good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I must speak about unity. We've been lazy, but me included, over the holidays. We didn't have the intercessions, but we're going to start on Tuesday again. And the first thing I'm going to share with that group of us, by the way, you are all invited to intercession. And that's one of the things I want to grow is our intercession. It's not just our 10 people praying together. But one of the things I want to share about is unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. I believe other scripture says, for there the Lord commands his blessing. What? Where does he command his blessing? Where we're in unity. Ephesians 4 verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. A family must be in unity. Now, next week when we have our open discussion thing, that doesn't mean you must just listen to me and shut up. That's not unity. That's fear or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. So there is a place where somebody can share and say, but I'm frustrated with this. Can't we change it? Yes, we can. Let's change it. But there must be a spiritual unity in family. There must be a vision, and everybody must buy into this vision, and we must run that way. And if you run that way, then I want to tell you, if you run that way constantly, I want to tell you, listen, you're frustrating me. Either your heart's not aligned with this church's vision, then find another one, but you are creating chaos here. Now, I don't know if anybody like that in church, but sometimes you must deal with people like that. Align, get in unity. That doesn't mean fear and just do what Theo says. Where's my water? Just something else. I don't know if I should share it, but remember, we're going to look at the tree just now. Remember that tree thing I spoke about? Oh, thank you, man. I see God's kingdom as lots of trees. Well, I'm not going to get to that now, but I believe a church must be, I see one church as a tree, and then there are another church is also a tree. We'll get to the purpose of a tree and all that stuff. But in other words, I believe that the church, specific one, like this one, must be a healthy church and operates first. The other church there, or wherever, they're not there, I'm just joking. But the other church there must also be a healthy church and operate first. Then later on, we can do things together in unity. And, I mean, we can probably can't wait for everybody to get to a healthy state. So I'm not against any unity amongst churches. But there is a priority to get your church and your local church operating. And that other guy who's pastor there, whoever he is, it's his job to get that one healthy and operating. And two healthy operating things can work together. It's like a man and a wife getting married. Anyway, God, there's lots of grace for it. But I always think, like for one instance, people believe that can I share this? You know, it's like somebody has a lust problem. Now they think if I'm going to get married, it's going to go away. No, it's not going to go away. You must fix it before you get married. Two whole people get married. But like I said, we're never really completely whole, so we get married and God helps us. In the same way, churches that are whole can work together. So in my case, it's just my priority is with this local church to get it up and healthy and running. And then, yes, we must work with other churches. But just hear my heart. It's not that I don't want unity amongst churches. I want it. It's just my job is here. So sometimes when there are certain things that needs to happen together in churches, I have to assess the situation and see, can I spend energy there now? And then I have to say yes or no. It's really, that's just my heart. Hopefully you understand that. Come and talk to me afterwards if you have a problem with that. I'm open. Exodus 18, verse 24 to 26. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Wow. Father-in-laws, aren't you happy about that scripture? Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case. What's a hard case? Is that like a hardkoppige issue or what? No, it's just a... Any hard case they brought to Moses. But any small matter they decided themselves. God's family. Okay, now you must listen, please. This is when, I believe it's Jethro. Yeah. Moses was trying to help everybody. So Jethro, his father-in-law, comes and says, Moses, you're crazy. You need to break your church up into smaller groups. Otherwise, nobody's issues will ever be solved. You're not Superman, you're Moses. Okay? So set people over tens. He broke it down into groups of tens. And then there were people. It's like a good business structure. Actually, it works. Okay. So, I'm coming to small groups in this church. That is why we have small groups. It's because if I have to do all the shepherding, all the emotional healing, training, helping, praying, then we can have a church this big. An effective church. That really operates effectively. That is why small groups is important. I'm promoting small groups here this morning. If we want to operate as a family, God is speaking to us about family, then we have to get the small groups right. Because scripture says so. That's why I want to say that, it might sound a bit hard. Don't come to us, meaning the leadership of the church, with an idea that you want to do a new thing, a new ministry that you want to open, but you're not in a small group. Why? Because I'm difficult? No. Because I love you and I want you to be spiritually protected, spiritually mentored, because the moment you start doing things for God, the enemy comes at you with more firepower. That is why I will say you must be in a small group. Because I actually have the best concerns for you on my heart. Not because I'm difficult. Amen? Amen. I'm just talking about God's family here. I want us to have a picture of a good and healthy family. Okay? Another thing I want to say here is, why do we, as a guideline, use... Go ask the small group leaders that you use the sermon that we're preaching here. Try and use that as a guideline and a basis for your small group's discussion. Why do we do that? Once again, because we're difficult? No. You have a family, mother, father, and kids. If the father doesn't tell them where we're going, dad, if they move around 20 times a year, it's like kids are confused. So every now and then the dad must just sit them down and say, listen, we're going to stay here now. This is what I'm going to do. Daddy's going to work there. You're going to go to that school. So he shares the vision with them. And then they go and implement the vision. And the same way in church, it's not because we want to be difficult. But I believe, God has called me. And then what? I have a responsibility. It's not even as if I can do it otherwise because I want to. I have a responsibility that you are on the same page, that we are all on the same page, spiritually, where we're going, where God is taking us. That's why it is a general guideline for us to just use the sermons, because if God speaks to us now about family, I don't want somebody else to discuss, whatever. Because God wants to lead us. Ooh, everybody's not thinking I'm the slave driver. Hopefully you don't think. I must think of a joke. I must have a backup joke every now and then. So simply, the leading and the guidance is for protection's sake. Amen. Now, we're talking about a family. A family must have structure, like I said. Now, just so that you know, Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's all I wanted to say. No, that's not. As Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. The head of any church, the structure, the man at the top of any church is Jesus Christ. Of this church is Jesus Christ. Okay. And there's another scripture, I didn't put it up then, but God says that he, Jesus Christ himself, has ordained all authority. So that's a bit of a hard pill to swallow for somebody. It's like, then when they try and figure out, is our president from God? There's lots of scripture in the Word that says you submit under your authority even though you don't like them. But, so, we believe that Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Then we have Pastor Fred, who started Shofar. Then you have all the other pastors and me being one of them. So there's a structure. Okay. But now we're getting to the meat of what I actually want to share this today. This church has a structure, and I want you to understand it, because I've realized that somebody else asked me the other day, who are our elders? And I thought, wow, you know, I always say that if two people communicate and that one that you're communicating to does not understand what you're saying, and it looks like they want to listen, then maybe you must just change your message. So I'll have to change, because I thought everybody knows it, but it doesn't seem like everybody knows it. But the structure of this church is we've got elders. Do you know who they are? Okay. Can those that I have here, can they stand? Ek hoop julle is nie kwaad vir my nie. Werner and Norbert and Dr. Mark Mankies is not here now. They are our elders. Okay, dankie. But you know, just so that you know, we meet, we try and meet every second week. It doesn't always work, so sometimes it's three times every third week. But we meet and we discuss. It's not you here deciding everything that needs to happen. By the way, our connection with the main church in Stellenbosch is Jan Kor. So I also spend lots of time with him on the phone, Skype. How did they do that in the old days? They had like these letters. Send Jan Kor a message. 2 weeks, he's in Cape Town. So it's easier nowadays. That's why I think Jesus we must use technology. Anyway. So we've got elders. We meet, we discuss, we decide. So I just want you to know that it's not me just running this show, okay? And I want to commend the elders for their hard work, the time that they put in. They are very, yes, please give them a hand. They're very busy people. Apart from church, so they even fit in all these church things. And I just want to say, you know, without them, before we had elders, I never want to go back to that, not having elders. And there is, it's wonderful when you're in unity and you decide things together and it works. It's like lots of the stress and the burden from my shoulders. I don't carry everything. That's great. But then we also have in our church zone coaches. And I want to tell you that I see a zone coach as an elder. Okay, they don't see it like that. They don't feel it's like that. But I'm telling you, you are as important as an elder. So now I'm going to do the next thing. The elders, the zone coaches. Stand up. Well, Dennis, jy is ook een. Nicole, jy is ook een. Wie is nog? Wat ek nou net iemand mis hier nie. Well, and Mark Mankies is the other zone coach. Okay, thank you. So Nicole and Barry is at the youth. Dennis is at the, what shall we call it? The older men's. Mark Mankies is very medium men's. And so on. Anyway, we're having an elders meeting tomorrow. And I want to change the zones and add a few zones. But I'm not going to do that until we discuss it first. We're going to discuss more of this next week, Sunday, okay? Then I want to show you the structure of the church also. What a zone coach does is he just has a few small groups under him. Two or three. I would say three maximum. Now, so you have your small group sometimes and then your zone coach comes and he sits there. Please don't feel as if he's like a policeman. checking up on what you're doing? He's not a policeman. We're doing what Scripture says. Ooh, ugh. When Moses listened to his father, his father-in-law, the people, chief of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. We're doing that. So what I also want you to understand is if you've got an issue, you're in a small group, you can run to me. But I would like you to run up the tree. He's there, that zone coach, firstly, that small group leader is there to help you. If he can't help you, it's fine. Go to people with more wisdom. Then go to your zone coach. Ask him. If you can't, you can come to me. I'm not saying people shouldn't come to me. I just want you to understand the heart behind this whole structure in church. Is so that you can be helped, so that you can be shepherded. Oh, Aaron John, that's it. But okay, keep it there. Then we have small groups, and then we have members. Now, the tree that I want you to see is the trunk or the root is Christ. Then you have what? Big, thick branches. Amen? Those are the elders or the zone coaches. Then you've got small groups that are thinner, little twigs or whatever. And then you've got all the members that are the leaves. Now, I want you to embrace this picture. Because I want you to see where do you fit in. Where should I fit in? If I don't fit in anywhere, I want you to fit in. I want you to become part of the family. God wants you to become part of the family. Amen. Now we're going to get to, we said our vision for this year is family and outreach. What is the purpose of this tree? Luke 13, verse 19. It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. Mark 4:32. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Now, Namibians would understand this. You go up this river mouth, Swakop River. It will take you a while. Let's say 80 kilometers. You'll start finding trees. But everybody that's been to Veld School, I was at Veld School. You know that if you're walking in the sun, Veld School is what in English? It's like boot camp. It's Afrikaans boot camp. If you walk in the desert and that sun is shining, a tree in Namibia, it's like, yee-haw. You look at Ultimate Survival on National Geographic. You find a tree. It's like you find protection. You find shade. You find a place to rest. You find like a little bit of nourishment for your soul. You know, the purpose of church, which I see as a tree, is not a bunch of branches. One branch lying there on the ground, that branch will die. It's a healthy tree growing, and that tree provides shade. And God wants us not to be self-inclined, inward-focused. He wants us, by just using this example, to cast shade, to pull in other people that need rest for their souls. Are you with me? And it's important to see in this picture that each and every one contributes. It's not a bunch of leaves on the ground. Or branches, or twigs. No, it's one thing working together. And I'm coming to the purpose of the tree, and the purpose is to cast the shade. I have a problem. No, I must first say I understand that leadership in church must cast the vision, must say where we're going, and if we say that we're outreach-minded and we want to reach other people, then we must demonstrate it. Yes, amen, I believe that. But I have a problem if it is only one or two people in church that wants to go. The whole family must be orientated, set up in such a way that we want to cast shade. We want to draw people in under us. So, here's the vision. As a zone, as a small group, wherever you are, if you've got a, I would like you to have a vision to reach out to other people. Don't wait until I tell you what to do or the elders tell you what to do. If you've got a desire, you've got a relationship with God. If He tells you, do that outreach, get all the surfers together and do this thing, do it. Don't wait for us. Don't wait. Do it. It is a combined effort where every, this one reaches out in that way. I mean, I'm not going to ask some of the, I'm not going to ask the tea ladies here to go and reach out to surfers, right? They'll run away. That's what's so amazing from having the diversity. You know, if you're young and you surf, then you reach out to the surfers. If you're old and you do this, then you reach out to those people. Sorry. Sorry, Ali Omenta. Are you with me? Can you see the purpose? And that is also why, you know, it's not the purpose, but a small group, a healthy one, grows. A tree grows. A dead one stays the same size. A healthy small group, a healthy anything grows. So it will mean that at some stage, that small group will have to not split. Please, no, let's not use that word. But that small group would have to multiply. So, I have come across it. It's that, or let me say it, if you're a zone coach here or an elder, whatever, if, or a small group leader, if you sense that in your small group there's not a desire to actually multiply, it's like, no, we don't want to, there's something wrong. Remember what I said? There's not something wrong with you, there's not something wrong with your people. There's just a heart thing here that's wrong. Because a tree wants to grow and multiply and cast more shade. It wants to become bigger. It wants to draw in more people. It wants to reach more people. So I also want to say that if your group gets to a certain size or if you don't feel it's ready to multiply, great. Because we don't want to break up the family. You with me? We don't want to break up relationships. But it's just healthy if there's a desire that we reach more people. So if that is not there, then let's rather pray for that and get that. Amen? Sure. Hopefully I'm achieving what I want to achieve, and that's not to scare anybody. Multiplication or reaching more people is an event to be celebrated. Psalm 91 verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That is what God wants us to, and you will probably hear, Fred has not started preaching yet. I think he had a bit of a longer holiday, but now and then we always download his sermons and you can listen to it, you can download it. Fred is our main pastor in Stellenbosch. I have heard, I know that their vision this year is to reach out, is missions, reaching the nations. What I am trying to say here this morning is, we can't reach out if we're not a healthy family. It must be a healthy family. It must be a tree, family tree, that casts shade. If we do outreaches without a healthy family, it won't work. That's why you know, I was like 10 years back, evangelist. The only thing I wanted to do is like grab a mic and preach to people and get them to put up the hand and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ. I am not there anymore because I don't want people to fall into a place where it's chaos and nobody can mentor them, help them. You know, because people that come to Jesus Christ, they've got issues. That's why I'm very structure orientated. I just want people that do accept Jesus Christ to fall into a place where it's safe. So I've changed completely. Sometimes I don't like the way I've changed because I always just wanted to go out. And we must go out. But we go out as a family. We pull them in. Amen. Are you with me? Scripture says, when Jesus left, He said, go out and make disciples. So I want to give you a challenge here this morning. a good, healthy challenge. You must just relax about it. But we are, I want to say that we are always too slow in empowering people. I know I'm too slow in it. What am I saying? We're always too slow in drawing people in and making them part of the family. We always want to control, let me say that we. I always want to control, and I can't let him do that now. He's not ready. Yes, he's not ready. That's the point. Let him make a mistake. That's how people grow, by making mistakes. And a very good example here is just, don't, a small group leader, a potential small group leader, does not have to have gone through 3 years of Bible school and, you know, whatever, get everybody healed when he lays his hands on him. He can be a little bit weird and wacko still spiritually. If you can see the potential in that person and you realize that this God wants to use this man, pull him in. Give him some responsibility. Make him part of the thing. We always empower people too late. Are you with me? Now, it's important not to empower somebody and say, there you go. Go to Koregas and get it saved. No, you need to manage the guy. You need to see. You need to be there and say, all right, sorry, that's wrong. Change that a little bit. So you can't leave people and let them run in the dark. But you can, very easily, we can draw in people and just give them more responsibility. Amen. All right. What else do I want to say? And that is why, but I'll discuss it with all the zone coaches before we implement it. But just for, if you want to have a few areas where I believe we should move into this year. One is, we're already there, but Mondesa. But we must spend more time with Gerkie and what he needs. Tamariskia, whatever, that side, Tamariskia. We must trust God that we get a small group up and running there. Another one, we already have it, is Gisela Koregas. Gisela, we see this, at this moment, we see Gisela as a small group. But we have to spend time with Gisela. We have to reach out. Another one that I want, that we must look at, pray about, is Wolfish Bay. There are a lot, I don't know, I don't see anyone here now, but I hear that sometimes people drive all the way from Wolfish Bay to come to church or whatever. We must trust God to start a small group there. Isaac's now going away, so Isaac's going to Rundu. Isaac is the Rundu small group. But are you with me? And then you can think of your zone, and where, if you've got 20 people in small group now, it's time to multiply. Don't force it, please, but pray about it and get it. Don't wait for me to multiply it. And obviously, okay, I'm just sharing a few areas where we have need, or I think we should go to. And I'm getting more involved this year with the youth, because they're doing a great job there. But man, it's hard work. It's hard work. That's all I can say. And they need help there, and I'm going to help them at the youth. Amen. Just the last slide here, then we've almost the last slide. Part of the, if you feel that this is your family, if you feel that this is your church, Shofar, we're not the only church, okay? There's lots of other churches that are just as good and better as us, but we're Shofar. Decide if you want to join this church. Decide if you want to become part of this church. And then if you become part of this church, I want you to start promoting who we are. You know, I'm proud to be a Potgieter. It's very difficult now that I've married an English wife to get names for Potgieter. Why couldn't it be like, my sister got married to a Clark. Jeanette Clark. Wow, that sounds good. Now, Potgieter. I mean, the only thing that works with Potgieter is Piet and Jan and Gert. My wife will not go for Gert. They say Gert here. Oh, Gertie. Maar Gertie net, as sy Afrikaans was, sy fyn geweest met Gertie. Toe maar nou sit ek weer al die stress op my vrou. Anyway, I'm a potgieter. I'm happy about it. I'm proud about it. I promote potgieters or whatever, you know. I'm happy about it. If you are shofar and you're part of that tree family, then I'm not the only one that promotes Foundation One. I'm not the only one that promotes Bible school. I'm not the only one that promotes youth group. Tasi Nam. Foundations, Bible school, youth, children's church, small groups, church. But these are the tools of our discipleship at this moment. We're going to have a marriage relationship thing weekend. We don't know the date yet. We're also going to have Sias Leroux coming here, and he's going to do the school of the supernatural for us. He's going to help us to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We also don't know that date. We're also going to send a mission team from this church to Korichas to go and do Foundation One day. So if you're interested, start thinking about it. We just need to get our dates right. But then if you buy into this family, then start promoting the tools that we have. You know, then it's like, listen, brother, do you know that we have Foundation One? Do you know that we do Bible school? Doesn't come only from me. You buy into the vision and you become proud of your family. That's why God said, the first scripture that I read, in all the families, all the sorts, all the kinds, all the groups, there's nothing wrong to become proud of the church that you are in. It is wrong to feel that it's the only church and God only uses that church. But there's nothing wrong to be proud of being a shofar church member. If you don't feel this is your church, then go to another one, but become proud of it. I don't know if proud's the right word, but just take ownership of it. By the way, they're children's church. There are a few, I wrote it down somewhere, now I don't have it. But we've got a few gaps. We'll talk about that maybe next week on that open sharing thing. You know, and I would like people to take ownership of certain things. It's like Mark the Vet took over the worship. It's like, I don't have to worry about Mark. Mark does have the worship. Lots of other areas. Bible school, Dennis did it. Youth, they did it. So, I mean, there's lots of areas. Amen. So, the next slide. Where's my slide, Maniki? Can you see that? That is what I believe God is telling us for this year. Is He wants us to reach people, to cast shade, people that are heavy laden and burdened, to pull them in, but only through a healthy family. Are you with me? It cannot happen. God doesn't want it to happen haphazardly, getting somebody saved there and nobody follows him up. Through a family, through a church, we cast shade. And everybody is somewhere should be part of that tree. You're either a leaf or you're a branch or you're becoming a branch. Amen. Amen. That's all I wanted to say. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for all the challenges that lie ahead of us. Father, we thank you for the growth that you've brought last year in all areas. I thank you for all the amazing people we have in church with leadership potential and just taking ownership of things. I thank you for the people that you are blessing us with. The people that you've sent on our path are blessed, Father. We thank you for that. Father, and this year we want to grow as a family. We believe it's on your heart. We want to grow. We want this picture of just being a place of refuge, a city on a hill type of thing where people can run to and find refuge. We want you to come and speak to us individually, each one, and just talk to us so that we can find our place. Find our little place in the puzzle. And Father, I pray for everyone that comes and visits this church and that have visited this church several times, Lord, that you would bless them in giving them peace where they should go and submit in a local church. But give them that privilege, Father, of serving in a church somewhere. And if they are meant to be with us, Father, then we receive them. We receive them just as they are. We don't want to change them. We want to just channel their energy and channel their potential so that we can get closer to you. Father, I pray that you will help us especially with these let's call it the question mark areas, the Walfish Bay, the Tamariskia, the schools, all those areas, where the children's church, where we struggle a little bit and we need help. We lift up those areas to you, Father, and we also know that if we plan, that you provide the resources. So we thank you that you're going to provide the resources. In Jesus' name, amen.